Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 147, episode 1 of Your Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially, off the top, fuck the Koch brothers, fuck Fox News, fuck Rush Limbaugh, fuck Buck Sexton, fuck Ben Shapiro, fuck Tucker Carlson, fuck American fascism.
Why does it sound like macaroni in a pot? That is, I don't understand. It's, anyway.
Gross.
It's not my favorite dish anyway.
It's Monday, August 17th, 2020. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Somebody once told me that COVID's gonna kill me because I'm gonna play at Sturgis. So where you're coming from, I guess you're also dumb with that MAGA hat on your forehead. In a week, we start coughing and we don't stop coughing. Fuck rules and we'll all fall into coffins. It makes sense I'd die for some bummer fun. Your lungs give out, but Dr. Fauci's dumb. No mask for you, no mask for me. So let's get on the bike. I'll take the bitch seat. If you don't die, if you don't, you won't die if you don't go.
Go!
You won't help me do all this blow. Hey, now we get COVID. Fuck us, we're lame. Hey, now we'll get COVID. Get the show on, get paid. It's okay, we're bummers all. And I don't know. I lost it there. That was courtesy of Travis Stockstill. I lost it like 5 seconds in.
The American Butcher.
Pushed through. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Somebody once told me the left wants to control me. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. But they were looking pretty dumb. Social distance, that mask on, Antifa won't control me unless I'm dead. Well, the bikes started coming and they never stopped coming. Started breaking rules and the virus was stunting. Wouldn't be Sturgis if we didn't have fun. Fuck being safe cause we're all real dumb. So much to Fred, to all my peeps. Yeah, some folks might end up 6 feet deep. but you'll never know if you don't go. We might die, but liberals get owned. Hey now, you said fuck war, get your chaps on and pray. Hey now, this is not smart, hope we all have sick pay. Once the virus took hold, we realized it mainly kills the homes. All right, see?
And wow. I'm sweating. So yeah. that was a lot of effort. But you know what?
Okay, you let me go through my entire failed AKA without a bagging track.
It was like scripted, you know? Yeah. It was like scripted. I was like, oh my God. Because I had this Christy one sitting in the hopper, submitted last week, and I was getting through all the other AKAs. But I follow you now. So all is fair, all is well in Zeitgang world. Thank you again for this masterful AKA submission.
And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat. I think we can say this the newest addition to Mount Zeitmore.
But like without being problematic, like acknowledging that Mount Rushmore itself is problematic. So like I've seen some suggestions like, you know, maybe we need a different monument to make our thing. But, you know, the not shitty Rushmore.
Right. Okay. Yeah. The latest addition to the Mount Zeit of Fame. Zeit of Fame.
Oh. Oh, that's good.
Mount Zeitlympus. Yeah.
Mount Zeitlympus.
Yeah,
boom.
There we go.
We got there. She is the hilarious, the talented, the brilliant Bridget Todd.
Yay! I'm so happy to be here, and I'm sad so I didn't have a Smash Mouth song. What if I busted out a Smash Mouth deep
hit
cut?
It.
Yeah, right.
man. Great to have you, Bridget. How
great to be here.
Are you quarantining? How's it going?
Same old.
Does DC feel a lot better? Like, do you feel like, do you have faith in your city? Like, because I have no faith in mine, sadly. I'm like, oh God.
I think it's a good question. I think DC, if you would ask me a few weeks ago, I would have had complete confidence in our ability to curb COVID. Now I go out for like a walk. People, it's like over. People are out at bars. People are doing their thing.
Bars are open?
Bars are open. I think they're supposed to have social distancing measures in place, but none of the places I've seen have that. So we'll see how it goes.
Okay. Yeah.
Koreatown has a bunch of like tented outdoor restaurant things going on in restaurant fronts by my house. And it's apparently like inspired by Seoul. It's something that happens in Seoul. So. That's an idea.
From how they were responding to the pandemic?
I think.
Or you mean like just generally outside eating?
Yeah, just generally outside eating.
Okay. Yeah.
It's supposed to be this past, the next few days are supposed to be incredibly hot as we're recording this in the Southwest where we live.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask, how has it been having the transition to more outdoor dining and, you know, outdoor bar options when it's so hot?
I don't know. I don't go out. I just feel bad. I feel bad.
It looks uncomfortable.
I don't also want to be the kind of consumer that it's like such a weird double-edged sword because I understand the need for people to work because our government is not just saying, here, we're going to give you money to stay safe so we can just end this pandemic like other countries have done, or, you know, at least limit the financial impact of just staying safe. Here, it's like, well, if you can't stay safe, then you're going to have to put yourself at risk. And part of me feels bad of like even being a consumer who would help a business rationalize that they need to put their own employees at risk. But then it's like, but they need money. So I'll just take out. Thank you so much. I will leave a tip, but I will not stay here. I don't, even if it's outside and it's safe for everybody. No, I don't need to be doing all that because I can,
I feel the same way. It's such a weird dilemma of so far. I mean, I've done takeout, but I've not really gone to any restaurants or bars. And yeah, it is. I want to be a good consumer. I understand that people who work in the service industry need to make a living, but I don't want to perpetuate this idea that's like, you need to die serving me, right? Yeah. I don't want to perpetuate that. So I don't really know what to do, but I don't have an answer.
That's why it's just like, I'll just, you know, just leave tips. And at least I can say like, I've contributed to the financial well-being of the business. Hopefully they're doing right by their employees, but I'm not at least presenting the physical, you know, threat or risk, you know, because of just, you know, the nature of transmission and things like that. Not that I'm, you know, been around that many people, but that's just things I want to think about. You just got to consider everybody.
Right.
Absolutely.
Especially like if I'm eating, like I don't need to be like, well, this would have tasted better 20 minutes ago there on the spot. You know, like we adjust. That's why I don't, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I got a takeout chicken and waffles. Did not travel well. I'm learning which foods don't travel well.
Or shout out
chicken travels, waffles do not.
Yeah, waffles. Then some places know, like, if you have fried food, like, you can't just have the lid on or else it steams in and now you have no crunch. So right. Shout out to places that cut the corners on the boxes or create some kind of ventilation so my crispy stays crispy. But yeah, it really is just about, like, yeah, how do I help, like, support the places I normally go to and I see dated, like, I would normally be patronizing, but without being risky with it. So
yeah, yeah.
2010, 2020 problems.
Mm-hmm. All right, Bridget, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things that we're talking about today. We're going to talk about the USPS going around just pulling up some of the mailboxes around cities in Oregon, New York.
Montana.
We're going to
talk about...
Who knows
where else?
Yeah. We're going to talk about the senators being rescued by the Chamber of Commerce. We're going to talk about more evidence of lead crime link. We're going to talk about the Fresh Prince being rebooted as a different genre. All of that. And then we're going to get to our rewatches. Mm. But first, Bridget, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Something from my search history that is revealing about who I am is, who did Ramona Singer vote for? If you watch Real Housewives of New York, Ramona Singer is a iconic cast member. I believe she voted for Trump.
Oh, yeah.
She did, right?
After a Google deep dive, I'm like 99% sure.
Shoot, she's like the proto Karen.
Right.
You know yes. what I mean? Like, turtle time? Fuck out of here. I was like, yo, it's Trump time. It's MAGA time. It's been MAGA time with her. And Mario, I'm like, get out of here. You're disgusting. The way she treated, what's homegirl? Jill Zarin?
You know what I mean? Get me started.
You know, that's when I was like, I don't like this. I don't like this at all. And people, you know, they're like, you like Jill Zarin? I'm like, yes, I think she was sensitive and she shouldn't have been on a reality show.
Yeah, I completely agree. I was reading this article that was going into all the different Housewives franchises to see who voted, who people think they voted for. And I went away from that thinking, I think Ramona Singer, I think she, like you said, she's the prototypical Karen white lady. She had this post on Instagram a couple days ago where she was complaining to the mayor of New York that she had seen two different men with their pants around their ankles. And she was like, the city is, you know, out of control. And I was just thinking, you know, we've got COVID, we've got people who are unemployed, we've got so much going on. And this is what you use your platform right. to complain about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, okay. Well, so we'll also have to throw Jill Zarin on that scrap heap because she took a dope-ass selfie at the Trump inauguration.
Oh, did she?
Oh, my God.
Bye-bye to everybody.
No.
Bye-bye. I mean, we shouldn't be surprised by anybody who's making, you know, $3 million home in New York. Like, at a certain point, wealth begins to be like, I don't know what my politics are aside from, like, not paying taxes.
Who do you think Bethany voted for? Bethany Franklin.
Oh, I don't think she voted
for Trump.
I think
she's a liberal. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
look at
what she's doing with her charity, Be Strong, you know, chartering planes to help Puerto Rico. I feel like a Trump supporter wouldn't do that.
Right. And if she did, she's next level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. What is something you think is overrated?
Something I think is overrated is a little bit personal, which is grad school. I am a PhD school dropout, and while cleaning my apartment, I found an old journal from when I was in grad school. And reading it, I was so broke, and I hated my life so much. So I'm going to say grad school, overrated.
How long ago did you drop out?
I dropped out of grad school, like 10 years ago. So kind of a while ago, now.
That's enough distance.
Yeah,
yeah, that is enough distance.
I went to University of Maryland College Park, and I was trying to get a doctorate in African-American women's literature. Okay. It was, looking back, like, I really, reading this old journal entry, I had a flood of all these memories of just being very broke and also working as an adjunct. And in the journal, I describe going to a meeting with, like, actual professors and adjuncts, where the professor at the end of the meeting was like, Bridget, would you like to take these bagels home? Because I know have no money. And he was right.
Yeah.
Wow.
That would be the same way if I look back on, like, when I was a PA And like, you know, just doing like my like Hollywood odd jobs where like, yeah, very much like someone who had me on a shoot be like, hey, you want to take the crafty home, man? Because I know you got roommates. And I'm like, I would, sir. And thank you so much.
Thank you. Even thank though you,
these,
kind sir.
Even though these Popeyes biscuits are harder than hockey pucks, I will drop some water in them and bring them back to life in the microwave. Thank you, sir.
Yes, you want to be insulted, but you also, you know,
what's but low-key, you're like, fuck yeah, I'm going to take this shit. I'm broke as fuck. Are you kidding me? I'll take the loose potatoes, too, because I could fuck with those later. I'll make hash browns. I don't know, but just, I'll take everything.
Loose potatoes.
I remember very specifically.
What California, were you PAing on?
This was another, first of all, when I used to work on Hell's Kitchen, the Gordon Ramsay show, they would let us have at the ingredients that they would use for the night's challenge every day. So like I remember one night I brought home, I'm not joking, a motherfucking hefty like construction shopping bag full of shishito peppers.
Wow. Oh my
God. That's too many. Like it's not even
yeah, you can't
how can one
that.
Man have so many peppers? but like that was like the vibe there. But there is an excitement when you get the potatoes was from another shoot. And that was to do with California Chicken Cafe. And they were like roasted potatoes. And I was like, I can just make like little potato patties out of potato pancakes with these when I get home, put them in the food processor. That's what I did.
Oh my God. I don't want to derail the episode, but I'm obsessed with Gordon Ramsay and I have so many questions. So
this
many
episode
questions.
Has no rails, by the way. I think
you heard the intro, right?
can I just ask
you
one
heard
thing?
My AK.
You heard, yeah, I mean, you know this show. Yeah. But thank you so much. Yes. Yeah, wow. Normally, we are so focused. but for this one moment, I will indulge your question, Bridget. Yes.
Okay. Is it so? I have watched all the Gordon Ramsay properties.
Yeah, same.
On the kids show, he's so sweet to the kids. It's adorable to watch him interact with the kids. But as you know, on the adult show, his whole thing is like being kind of mean. Is it an act or is he actually kind of a gruff person?
So I didn't work on MasterChef Kids. I know someone that did and says he's overall a kind guy.
That's what I've heard.
He turns it on when you're cooking. Then you enter his world where now he has a take on the shit you're doing. Like if you're just walking around, he's going to be like, oi! What's with your hat? It's not like, you know, it's like when, so for example, on one of the seasons, I worked on two seasons of Hell's Kitchen. On one of the seasons, he changed the craft services company three times in the season because he felt the craft meal wasn't up to his standard for what the crew should be eating. So like he would come by and just taste like sort of make a small plate of whatever the crew was eating. And then the next day there'd be a new crew there. And we're like, what happened? They're like, he didn't like the food.
Let me ask you this. Have you ever seen that video of him having another chef taste his pad thai? And he's so excited to get...
Oh, and the guy's like... yeah. It's
bad?
The best. Yeah, well, because it's like a Thai chef who's like, bro, this is some like...
This is whack.
I don't know what this is, fool, but like, don't... This is. I'm going to take
and
this
he's
as disrespect.
Sad. And
it's
Gordon
so
Ramsay's sad.
He's so sad. The guy, he's like, what do you think about it? Do you like it? Do you like it? And he goes... And then he's like, well, you know, what do you think? And the guy's like, what do you want to know about it? He's like,
what do you want to know about it?
You should definitely look it up.
It's great, yeah, because like tables, it's such an inversion of power of what you're used to seeing in any kind of Gordon Ramsay clip.
That's so funny. The most delicious food has ever been to me is working as like a busboy or a dishwasher in the kitchen, seeing like all this delicious food and just being broke and hungry, and then like getting a plate of French fries with hollandaise sauce or some like that. So,
another thing too, Hell's Kitchen. So, you know, it's a reality show, but you know, quote unquote reality. So, like sometimes the servers like walk away from the pass, like as if they're going to put food on a table, but they aren't, and it's just for the shot, and they walk straight through the set and go to this other back corner where they'll just put the plates down, and the knife fights that we had over those plates, they're like, you got to taste the duck last night. I never had duck. I'm going to try it. And then you're like, this shit is so good. And then you just, but it is so like that good, moment where man. You're like, where do I have to be to eat like this all the time?
But that still like affects my taste in food. Is like I love French fries with hollandaise sauce. I love Italian food because I worked, like when I was in high school, I was a busboy and a dishwasher at an Italian restaurant where they had like solid food, but like that food just looked so good to me
too,
that it
right?
just like yeah just the the dream of that food.
That's the reason why I love Domino's, is because when I worked at the laser tag place doing kids' birthday parties, that was the pizza place we had to deal with. So if you had the birthday, we'd be like, okay, so we order from Domino's. And whenever you'd clean up, half the time the parents don't want to take back like a half a pizza. So we take it in the back, and the starving high school kids devour the shit out of it. And I remember, like, you would have 10 minutes between your, like, 3 o'clock party and your 3:15 party, and I would have to fucking like condense 5 slices in like a baseball and just like eat it like that.
Eat it like apple.
But it was like so good too, to the point where like I always have those memories of eating Domino's and be like, this is sustaining me.
Until a massive celebrity can then watch you clean up and be like, yeah.
Yeah, there have been a few. Uh-huh. Dr. Dre, yeah, maybe Wild Uncomfortable.
Oh, have you talked about that? Harrison, I didn't know we were naming names.
Harrison Ford caught me with my pants down because I had ice cream, or I had ice cream cake all over my pants that I had to, like, a kid threw a slice of ice cream cake at my crotch. And I needed to clean, like, because you, in one day at my job, you would do like 3 or 4 birthday parties, like in your shift. And so in between them, I was like, I can't go out there. Like, I need new pants. So I was like furiously cleaning them. And Harrison Ford came the back door and like just like opened the back door. And I'm there with my pants around my knees, like a washcloth, like scrubbing the crotch of my pants, like in my underwear. And it's him and Calista Flockhart. And he has like his like sunglasses, and he dropped them like sort of like to look at me. And he goes, is this that laser zone place? I was like, the entrance is in the front, Mr. Ford. And he's like, and he just didn't even say thank you. He was just so like, I think I fucked his day up.
But like, you can, that's a whole podcast. To masturbating or whatever you were doing.
Like
there.
Whatever this is, you freaky freak boy.
Masturbating with ice cream cake.
Yeah. Like, right. Yeah. Looking at Calista, he's like, I told you these kids are fucked.
What is something you think is, are we on underrated? I don't even know where we're at here.
Yeah, I think we're at underrated, right?
Okay, what's something you think is underrated, Bridget?
Something I think is underrated is, particularly in these trying COVID times, watching just a feel-good movie, you know?
Yeah.
I watched An American Pickle, if you've seen that on HBO Max.
Oh, yeah, everybody's been
hearing good things about this.
Yeah, I typically like give me a dark documentary about some fucked up shit, and I'm very happy. But the last few weeks, I've been watching a lot of, like, feel-good, fluffy movies. And, you know, the world is fucked up enough. Why, when it's time to watch a movie, maybe watch something that's a little bit escapist.
Yeah, that, hey, straight up facts.
Mm. I mean, Desperados, as we'll get into, that's a fun one. Good letting off steam. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I hear American Pickle is very good. I hear it really makes you feel like Seth Rogen is one of our great thespians. I think Anna Hosnier was saying that, I think her exact words were, fuck Daniel Day-Lewis, Seth Rogen's our finest actor.
Yeah.
Yes, and I'm going to say something else that might be a bit of a hot take.
I mean, Daniel Day-Lewis isn't ours, and is either as Seth Rogen, to be honest. He's Canadian, and Daniel Day-Lewis is Irish?
Welsh?
Or English?
Irish, yeah. Irish, yeah.
I think Seth Rogen, kind of handsome.
Can get it, yeah.
I think he can
get
it.
No, he's English, sorry. No disrespect. Or no, he's born, I don't know, British and Irish, that's what it is. He's both.
Daniel Day-Lewis?
Yes, wanted to make sure I got that right.
When I say our, I just mean the human race, Miles.
Oh, I'm very regional. So yeah, like, when I say our, like, I'm talking about, like, you know, like our, like,
somebody
LA
from
or
the
California.
Valley.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, you're not from the Valley.
Bridget, finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true, you know, to be false?
Okay, so this again is a little bit personal, but when Biden picked Kamala Harris as his running mate, I got a flurry of text messages being like, oh, aren't you related to her? And your first thought might be racism, but not true. My mom is an AKA. She's a member of the same sorority as Harris. And anybody who is also an AKA, people like Gladys Knight, people like Toni Braxton. Mm-hmm. My mom will say, "Oh, so and so, that's my sister." Meaning her sorority sister, but she doesn't correct them. So there has been a little bit of a Todd family lore that a whole host of Black women that we've never met are my mom's sister and my aunt. Because my mom has been feeding into this myth that she is related to Kamala Harris. She is not. We've never met.
I like that, though.
Oh, you really must meet Kamala. She's good people. Miles and I have hung with her before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, she came by once.
The Ron Burgundy podcast.
I was stinking like weed, and I was like, The photo, I look like it, too. I'm like, I'm behind California's former top cop stinking like that dead body.
Damn, AKA is like Skull and Crossbones for the... I didn't know about AKAs, that it's like all these famous people.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, AKA Twitter went the... I was like, oh, shit. It is a movement.
Fuck around with the intersection of Howard Twitter and AKA Twitter. Woo!
Yeah.
That is a move.
That is a lot of impressions. That's like someone at a marketing company is like, how do we get that kind of energy on this new campaign for Sparks Energy Liquor? I want to see numbers. I want to see HBCU Twitter intersect with AKA Twitter and liberal politics Twitter. That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, man. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back, and really quickly, we want to check in with the state of the United States Postal Service. How we doing, Miles?
So there were like images going around where there were Postal Service trucks like loading up those iconic blue mail drop boxes like off the streets and taking them away.
Yeah.
And there's a few images of that in New York City, Eugene, Oregon. John Tester, the senator of Montana, he sent a letter to the postmaster, Louis DeJoy, basically saying, like, what is going on? He's like, apparently over a dozen post office drop boxes were removed across the state. And this is with the backdrop of the president is trying to fuck mail-in voting so he can do everything he can to try and hold on to power. And this is like, it's just so cynical to be like, okay, we're going. It wasn't just enough that they were fucking with sorting machines and sorting machines are being removed, which a lot of people are like, this has to be felonious now at this point.
Oh, yeah.
This is like in every imaginable way, just tampering with the mail. But there are ways they were like, Louis DeJoy said, like, there have been some unintended consequences of like the restructuring that's going on and using really shitty euphemistic language. But then there are other spokespeople from the Postal Service saying like, well, you know, like we're just trying to be efficient. And like when there aren't that many drops at that location, then like we just realize that it's easier to do that. So then the routes are shorter and da, 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 da. But what it looks like and what it is you're just being like, we're going to limit even the places you can even leave your mail-in ballot.
Right. Yeah. What did some other service have to open up a Dropbox there that they needed to get rid of those? Like what? I don't understand the logic.
I don't know. There's also like there's something going on where that the postmaster Louis DeJoy is like has some kind of entanglements or something to do. And I don't mean entanglement like in the Red Table Talk version. shout out Austin Nelson, but actually, like, he has Amazon stock. Like,
He's like, a saboteur straight up.
Yeah. And it's just sort of like, this is where we're at, where you're being like, yeah, bring in the corporate raiders to like sort of take our infrastructure to the point where now it's like, okay, now let's privatize it and sell it off. And there we go. Someone's got a check now.
So are we just going to say that everybody has to vote in person? Like, let's just do that as a.
Like LeBron is like trying to get, they're making the like Dodger Stadium just an enormous polling place.
That's
they're like, you know, some people are trying to do things, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, granted, what does that look like with COVID and how does that align with any kind of a wave, a second wave, or are there a second wave like in this country? I feel like we've just been riding the same big ass wave. So
I think we're at the tip of the second wave with wave of deaths, right? So we'd be looking at third wave.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, I don't know. So
yeah.
Like all of that together, yeah, it's really a dilemma for people to just say like, okay, wait hours in line, possibly in the cold, depending on where you are during this pandemic, just so you can avoid this, I don't know, the further acceleration of the authoritarian takeover of America.
Right.
Yeah. And I also think, of course, this presents such a horrible challenge for voting. You know, people who are chronically ill or immunocompromised, they rely on mail-in voting. And then even beyond that, fucking with the Postal Service is going to derail so many lives, right? Yeah. Like my dad is chronically ill. He gets his medication through the Postal Service. If we're going to accept that massive delays on this essential service is okay for Trump to get another, you know, term in office, it's going to be derailing the lives of people who really depend on it. People who live in rural communities where, you know, sending something would cost an astronomical amount through something like FedEx. But the USPS, or the United States Postal Service, you can just send it for the cost of a stamp. Like, we are, even beyond the implications for the election, the implications that this has for just our way of life, it's just so deeply, deeply demoralizing. And it shouldn't be acceptable, but what is being done? You know, like what can we do?
Right.
That's where we're slowly arriving at that point where it's like, damn, like we got to start striking, taking over the streets. Like what is the recourse? Because on the other hand, like the politicians are sort of left with like just writing letters to the postmaster being like, what the fuck is going on?
Right.
Like, it can't just be that. Like, yeah, this is straight up fuckery. And it's messing with people's lives. Like, to your point, medication, social security checks, all kinds of things people need the Postal Service for. I don't know.
If they do get Trump out of office, if we do get Trump out of office, fascists. Yeah. But just like the America's non-fascist community gets him out of office. Like, we need to spend the next 4 years just passing laws that, like, because all of this shit is just, like, it's really been like a stress test that just shows all the ways that, you know, when somebody's in power, they can just, you know, use that power to kind of move us towards fascism.
And he's not going to be the last one. Like, we're...
No, you're going to get someone like Tom Cotton or someone who's a little bit more articulate and who understands, like, DC politics better and how you can actually go about these things rather than just being so mercurial and, like, impulsive and just be like, I don't know, I hate that. Fucking andale, andale, mommy, EO, EO, uh-oh, executive orders. Like, it's just... fucking, like, that's when we're going to be in trouble with someone who actually knows how to work the levers, because Trump just knows how to work the media and that's and the people. But like, that's the only thing that has kept us from like fully being like, whoa, where he's bombing U.S. cities.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so depressing. Honestly, listening to you talk, I was just thinking about all of the different I don't even want to call them scandals, all of the different things that Trump has done that if any other president did them, he would be out of office. It would be we would be having like a national reckoning. And there have been so many. It's like, how do you even? So, yeah, now it's the Postal Service. He went on TV and pretty much admitted, yeah, I'm fucking with the Postal Service so I can win the election because I want to win the election. He pretty much said that pretty plainly. Like, what's next? Where does it go from here?
Well, the natural extension is right. Like, for so long, the people of good faith and morals will rely on that to say, no, if we just stick by our guns, that's how we win. But when you are dealing with people who constantly are not playing by the same rule book, eventually that's going to drag the other side into the same, like, you're like, okay, fuck it. So it's just dirt fest now. Like, it complete, like, just corruption on both sides to counteract the corruption. It's just... That's like the, I feel like the completely runaway train version where it's like, yeah, the only logical thing is like, okay, then we got to cheat too.
Yeah.
And I think that's when it fully, you know, things fall apart.
Who would normally be stopping this? It would be like the Postmaster General, like the head of the Post
Office. The Postmaster General probably wouldn't even go do the things that are happening right now.
Right. I'm just trying to figure out like, in the version where like norms save America from this sort of just like chasm of, you know, just dark corruption and like, you know, right. where nothing matters. What, like, who is supposed to be coming in and being like, in a normal presidency, like Bridget was saying, who would be stopping this? Just the opposition party, like Mitch McConnell, if it was a Democrat, would be freaking out. I guess I just don't know how the country works. maybe I need to do that.
It's a good question. I don't know. I don't know. In a normal situation, who would be the person to put a stop to this? But honestly, your question just speaks to the way that our normal, the things that you would think of as the normal checks and balances have just stopped. We don't have that anymore.
Right. It just don't work anymore.
Yeah, I mean, like, I guess he can be impeached.
Right. Like, could we try and impeach him again? For this?
Oh, I'm talking about, but I think you can impeach the Postmaster General.
Oh, right.
That's possible. Okay. But I don't know.
You probably
know,
like, not before the election, and that's what they're counting just, like, on. They
there's too many calculations happening, you know, to the point where it's like, well, what do we expend our political capital on? Like, is it to try and get relief? But now the Senate, they've gone on recess. So we're like, I don't know. It's
honestly, I you just on the Zoom, you just like threw your hands up like, oh, I don't know. That's how I feel. I feel like the we live in a country where the top down message we're getting is like, good luck. You know, we can't help you. Hope you don't get evicted. But like, maybe you'll figure something out. But anyway, I'm going on recess. Bye. Like,
then like, okay, so what? We have to pull up to your house now? Is that the deal?
Right.
Because you didn't take it seriously enough.
Is shocking. Like, is there some reason they have to go on recess? Why aren't they just like working 24 hours a day?
Because they couldn't come to a deal over the last couple weeks, and like, I think they're looking at like, fuck it, whatever, let's see what, like, maybe they'll come back to the table, maybe we'll get bad enough in the polls that then the Republicans will want to make a deal. But either way, it's fucking around with people's lives. And you really should be, no matter what, like, I mean, you can't expect a single fucking thing from Republicans ever. Nope. At all.
No.
So that's why you're like, okay, so how shitty is the leadership on for the Democrats too? Like, can you please show people too that everything you're trying to do, everything, then sort of like, well, we tried and we offered this or whatever. Like, I don't know. There's like, we haven't gotten to quite the screaming point of like, the fuck is wrong with y'all? which like slowly, I feel like some we've seen some senators and Congress people like break to sort of like admonish their peers. But, you know, I don't know. It's it almost feels like you're starting to see how disconnected some of the even the leaders on in the Democratic Party are from like what their lived experiences of 95% of American people.
Right. Absolutely. Definitely. So, I mean,
and that's where you're like, ugh, this is all things stinks.
I wish that, you know, as someone on the left, I wish that our leaders in the Democratic Party and on the left were not so fucking toothless. You know, it's right. like, what are we going to do? What are we doing? How are, and I'll give that we are in such unprecedented times with a president like Trump, but it just feels like nothing's being done. It feels like, and I guess I think I'm speaking from a place of like extreme sort of disaffection and, you know, just, I don't even know the word for it. I'm so exhausted even just like thinking about this. But, you know, when I see on Twitter Democratic politicians like putting out a spicy tweet about something Trump said or did, and I'm like, this is great, but this isn't helping me. Yeah. Right? Like this tweet is cool, awesome, you dunked on him, good job. But like, how am I going to pay rent? How am I going to have healthcare?
Yeah.
You know?
Because the world is happening off that screen.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And like, you're not going to, people aren't going to big you up because you had the fire clap back tweet. They're going to, you know, people want to see you like in the district, talking to people, trying to work it out. So even if you have to, you're like saying, well, whatever I can't do at the federal level, let me get in my district and see what I can do for the people of my district too, because that is all, that is the point. You're there to represent the people of your district. But I think that's just the thing, is like we're needing to see a shift in the what motivates someone to get into politics, because all the older people that are in there now are like have ties to business, and it makes sense for them strategically to get into politics for like the benefit of themselves. And then you have some people who truly are public servants, but we need more like I'm ready to rock the fucking boat over
absolutely
type people. And like that's what we have, you know, and like that's why I think the DNC wasn't looking favorably at people like the squad and things like that, because they're not here to play nice. And they're like, you know, there's like real problems. Like, you know what I mean? Like poor people are going through it.
I think we're going to see a real shift, like a real shift in like who becomes politicians, just generationally, like the values, because this is, you know, I mean, anybody who's paying attention and is not completely disaffected and completely just given up and is just trying to, you know, make a power and money grab right now is disgusted with what they're seeing. I mean, you were pointing out like the Chamber of Commerce shit, like,
yeah,
just how, I mean, like that's working with
exactly like, so you look at it all, right? You know, Jody Ernst from Senator from Iowa, Tom Tillis from North Carolina, Susan Collins from Maine, Cory Gardner in Colorado, they're all the beneficiaries of massive ad spends from the Chamber of Commerce. Now, the Chamber of Commerce is basically the gang that business owners join up.
Right.
And they say, we're the chamber, bro. And like, look, every city has their own local chamber. And that's all the business owners who like, you know, we're a network of business. You know, it's like some very nice language. But really, they're there to be like, don't fuck our money up. And if the politicians start doing things that fuck our money up, then you're gonna hear from the Chamber of Commerce.
Right.
And especially with, and now you look at these senators, right, and how the Republican Party has been operating, especially through the pandemic. They've been like, rah, rah, like reopen everything. Who gives a fuck about masks? Like, I think the problem is we need to get back to work. That's
too
very
many
much
regulations. Too many.
That's exactly what the Chamber of Commerce wants. Like,
right,
they want the message to be, we got to reopen, because the Chamber of Commerce, they represent many of the business owners who are like, by any means necessary. Not to say that there are small business owners that absolutely need help and are also saying like, I need to open for the survival of my own business. But This is a very disingenuous bunch. Like, they're commending these people. So they said, for Jody Ernst, when asked about like, well, what's going on with like, you know, looks like you spent about $350,000 in the Cedar Rapids and Des Moines area. That's a lot. And saying the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is supportive of this common sense solution that will lower prescription drug prices for Iowa seniors and families, particularly crucial in light of the COVID-19.
The COVID-19.
Yeah, they wrote the issue advocacy campaign highlights the business community's support for Senator Ernst and her willingness to fight for Iowans on these important issues. it's not that she was out here being like, let's try and recklessly reopen things and put workers at risk. They're like, because we can't big her up on that. Let's use the thing and make this about prescription drugs, even though that's why we need her there, because we need somebody to cape for, you know, the business class. And again, I do want to reiterate, though, with the reopening stuff, because I have people in my life who are like trying to reopen their business and going about it one way or the other. But the pressure really needs to be on the government to support the businesses. And I feel bad for business owners thinking that they need to open and make money the way they were. That's not the way it should not be your responsibility given this pandemic. The onus is on the federal government to say, do not put any of our citizens at risk. We'll figure it out. Don't do that. But that's not America talking. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean?
You know, I know it's very tempting when you see these pictures of like young people out at bars, out at restaurants to be like, tisk tisk, you should be at home. But the point is, these places shouldn't be open, right? If we lived in a country that had a strong federal government, we would have some sort of system worked out where it would be incentivized for people to do the safe, smart thing. I feel for these business owners who don't really feel like they have a lot of choices and they aren't really getting any kind of guidance from the federal government. And in a lot of cases, they're not getting good guidance from their state governments, right? I absolutely feel for them being put in this impossibly complex situation that they did not set up themselves and having to navigate that. I feel for them, but I think we need to do, it's important to keep in mind that it is not the fault of the business owners and it's not the fault of the people who like are like, fuck it, I'm gonna go to the bar. The blame should be on the government and their failure to be leaders in the moment when we need it the most. And I think we have all of these little tricks and things to get us to forget that and to be like, oh, well, I blame this 19-year-old girl who went to a bar without a mask or what have you. It's like, no, it's very tempting, but I think we need to continue to remember that the people who are supposed to be keeping us safe in this moment have just thrown up their hands and thrown us to the wolves.
Yeah. It's like having a babysitter who's like letting the like babies play with matches and they get home like, what the fuck happened? Like, I don't know, man. The baby's playing with matches. I don't know how the fuck I got them. She's like, you are the babysitter, sir. They're there to make sure it doesn't have that.
It's like you were saying earlier, man. No one man should have all those peppers.
Yeah, exactly. No one man should have all those peppers. I've really 21st century shishito man. But I think really that for business owners too, that's a very specific mindset in this country too, which is very much a bootstrappy entrepreneur who's like, I can get it on my own. I'm gonna do it on my own. And on the other side of that, you're less likely to actually be like, hold on a second. It's not this in this moment. It's not actually on me to make sure my business is surviving. But that is a very like culturally inbuilt way of thinking of like, well, I got to make sure my business is going. Like, you have to consider this piece that the federal government is being so negligent. And I think the actions that you take is to organize your community to like really demand a response from your local leaders or whatever and go up there, because that's. I know no other way. Like, if anything, you'd hope that this radicalizes the small business owner owning class to realize like, oh my God, this is such a fucked up way of doing business like in this country, especially without the federal government offering any kind of support to us as business owners. The PPP loans fucking vaporized and so many of the people who needed them didn't get them. So yeah, it's hard. And it's just really disheartening to see the lack of care from the government. And it's also because the kinds of people running this country don't live in the same earth we do.
Right. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about some bullshit.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, It's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out What's New on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And so, Miles, you watched something that was in the Netflix top 10 at the end of last week, Work It.
Mm-hmm.
I rewatched one of the top movies of the summer on Netflix, Desperados, which mm-hmm. I don't have a ton to say. It has one of my favorite moments of physical comedy in a long time.
Which moment is that?
I can't do it to him because it's like it would fuck it up if I even said anything about it.
Yep.
But it just very unexpected.
I watched it a few weeks ago and it's like the premise is so like intense, you know?
Yeah.
Like being like, we got to get to Mexico now. Because what's the deal? Like she sends a wrong
email. So she sends an email. No, she gets drunk. Oh, so this dude. Right. This dude is ghosting her. They have sex, and then five days go by, and he is not like calling her, not responding to anything. And so her and her friends get drunk and send a mean email, which is a very funny like scene.
Like, it cuts deep.
Yeah,
they're like they're going for the throat. Yeah,
talk about his thin dick. says your dick is bad. I really like Nassim Pedrad as like a romantic comedy lead. She's funny as fuck, and like the, you know, she plays like a really like kind of not a shitty person, but like a person who's just like
flawed.
In a very flawed. Yeah. And you stick with her and root for her, even though like she's kind of openly shitty during the movie. Not because of that. The dude who she's like really into is just he's like a bad James Marsden character, light, like if
right,
you know, like just like kind of a real
like
bland
a stock
bag.
Photo of a stock photo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I know the type.
Yeah.
Yeah. The stock photo of a stock photo with bad thin dick.
BTD.
It's they're like dirtbags. It kind of made like her and her friends are kind of dirtbags, and it like makes you. It sort of made me wish that they had just gone full like I don't know dirtbag. Yeah, like it because they like go back to the rom-com side of it, and it's just like, man, if this wasn't if the lead characters weren't women, I feel like they would have gone like just, it would have just been a funny, like raunchy comedy.
I wonder if that was a note that they got when this movie was being developed, where they're like, you know, like it's a little too like raunchy.
Right.
Like, can we make it a little more rom-com? But it's like, no, like,
go
for it. Because there were some funny moments in it.
Yeah, there are really funny moments. The one thing, so I would say that it keeps going back to, like, the romantic thing where, like, she needs to find a guy. And, like, even at the, like, climax, she realized she doesn't need this guy. But mm-hmm. then it goes back to her, like, going with another guy. And it's just like, why did we need to? All right. But. So that's one thing that I feel like holds it back a little bit. And the other thing is that, like, she falls down a lot and faints a lot. And, like, I don't know. Like, that on one hand, that's like a comedy trope. But on the other hand, it's, like, so kind of forced in a lot of situations that it feels like. Like, do you remember we watched the cinematic masterpiece 365 Days, second most popular Netflix movie of the summer, which is just porn, basically. It's like soft porn from Poland. But that, like, we were talking about how the lead character in that, the woman, has a heart condition and keeps fainting, like, for reason. And we were just like, why does that happen? Like, that's just very strange. It's never really followed up on. And, like, in this, she keeps, like, passing out. She meets her, like, supposed dream guy, stock photo, Thindic, when she's, like, passed out. And it reminded me of, like, one of the weirdest things when you go back and watch Snow White is, like, every time she, like, a good thing happens for her, she's literally unconscious. Like, the prince comes and saves her when she's, like, in a coma. The dwarves, like, fall in love with her when she's asleep in their bed. Like, the animals, like, really like her because she's passed out from, like, fear. It's like, it's this weird, like, trope that I feel like comes from, like, the male gaze in movies where women have to be either passed out or, like, clumsy and, like, hurting themselves in order for men to, like, be into them, which made me slightly uncomfortable because it just kept happening.
Yeah, it's very predatory. It's like, you know, the ladies gotta keep Ryan who are like stumbling and in need of help.
Right.
Like,
exactly. Yeah. That should not be.
Or just
happening.
Passed out cold. Not
yeah, right.
Yeah.
Inanimate.
We want our women unconscious, fellas. Am I right?
Like, whoa. What? What happened on your fuck? Mexico trip, Dave? You know what? We're gonna pass on this one, man. This is a little too real for us.
Yeah, yeah. But anyways, I really liked it. The moment of, like, the thing I really like about the moment of physical comedy that apparently didn't get you the way it got me, but is that it's like a thing that could only, like, you need a movie budget to pull this joke off. And that's all I'll say. The house has a similar thing in it that has, like, one of the hardest, like, moments of physical comedy, but it, like, uses movie effects to do it.
Right.
Anyways, five stars.
The hotel, I recognize because I have this weird thing where I like to look at hotel deals across the world, and then I get obsessed, and then I look at all the photos. I believe that is the Auberge Resort in Cabo San Lucas, where President Barack Obama once stayed. So
Auberge?
That's just a fun, yeah.
Did he do that, you think, just because
Esperanza.
OB? As a fellow OB last name?
No, this is A-U-B. A-U-B, Auberge.
Oh, Auberge. Okay. I've just noticed a lot of similarities between the two of us. So.
Yes.
OBs. Miles, you watched?
I watched Work It.
How was it?
You know, I got to stop watching movies that are, like, not meant for adults. I've, like, done it, like, 6 weeks in a row, I feel like, and I think it's fucking me up.
I think it's only two, but, yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah, like, I don't even
like
know.
I'm losing
track. Well, you know, also, like, on my free time, because, like, I realized I watched that other dance movie that we were thinking about watching, like very passively. So I consume a lot of media very passively. Anyway, this film, it's definitely, like, a movie, like, if I was, like, 15, like, that's who it's for and younger. Because it's about this, like, girl who's in high school. She's, you know, she wants to get into Duke. You know, Duke is her school. Mm. And when she, you know, she goes to her, like, interview, like the woman who's giving the interview sort of like, I mean, you got all these good grades and stuff, but like, you don't really seem like you're going out your box or whatever. And then she mentions how she like is like works with the dance team that's like well known in the state because like they're the most lit high school dance team. And she's like, oh, so you're part of the dance team. And she's like, I contribute to it. And really the opening scene is like, you realize she's like the AV person for the dance team. And like, she fucks up majorly in a performance and spills coffee on the light, like the board to do all the lights levels and things that starts sparking. But the logic continues where the stage starts sparking as well.
Yeah.
And there's like, that'll which is my happen. Favorite thing. Like, look, if you get, we all know this, you put anything liquid on electricity, sparks shooting out sparks. The motherfucker immediately. And if it's connected to that, even 50 feet away, sparks. Get explosions, ready, Nicholas, because it sparks, baby.
If a car is anywhere nearby, it's going to explode.
Oh, every time. Every time. So, you know, as she does, and then so there's the dance people like, okay, you're off, like you can no longer, you know, work with us as the AV person. So she's shattered. And then in her interview, as she sort of like roundaboutly implies that she's on it, they're like, oh, well, that's great. So if, you know, if that's really your thing, then I'm like, I think this really improves your chances at Duke. Like, you know, I just want to, you know, like, can't wait to see that happen. And like, so like every formulaic film, there's a big, obviously, competition that she's going to have to be in to get into Duke. But then things
usually
fall apart.
Usually it's to save a orphanage. This is so a girl can get into Duke.
Yeah. And this is where it gets kind of weird because she's like relying on her friend who's a woman of color to be like, okay, look, I need you to teach me how to dance.
So I can get into Duke,
even though I lied. But it's now your responsibility, woman of color, to give me that rhythm so I can get on that dance floor. I'm like, okay.
It's following in the footsteps of Save the Last Dance.
Yeah, exactly. It's very much like every dance movie. It's the, you know, out of place, uptight, like bookworm or like not hip hop white person who's like now with some other people. But the thing is, the main dance team she wants to get on, they don't want her anymore. So there, and she auditions, it goes south. And then she realizes she has to start her own dance team with some like misfits at the school. And it's like,
I was going to suggest that.
Exactly. And it's all the things where it's like, yo, the pasty kid who does karate, like he can get down to like, he did a backflip at a pool party in eighth grade. I think he'll be all right. And they're like, all right, let's get him. Then there's like a kid who's like selling cassette mixtapes, which I was like, who wrote this? Because kids in high school aren't like, yo, you got that tape? Like the dude had a boombox.
You better be selling the fucking tapes deck with it because where the fuck is any kid going to listen to a tape?
And I know like more like indie artists who are like millennials are fucking with like tape releases, but like that's not how kids are spreading their music anymore. Like we had CDs. They have Spotify playlists and whatever the fuck else. Like they don't, nobody's handing out physical copies. I just want to say that there's one moment where the film fully, it's just like it's for kids. There's like a moment where for them to get into the big competition where that's where she like the real deal, the climax scene, they have to get through like the regionals. And in the regionals, like they do okay. And then the last team goes up and like, they're like just smoking them. Like this team is so good. And then they're like, oh, damn, like we're out based on the other teams. Like we thought we would get in if we were the best, but this team's better than us. And there's like a deus ex machina moment where one of the dancers on this team, like rival teams that's like about to eliminate them, gets a fucking boner. So everyone's like, whoa, look. And they're like, what? And I'm like, when that happened, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? This one of the dudes has the wild boner. And they're like, yes.
Qualifying?
Yes. They're like, yes. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And they're like, uh-oh, that's boner or whatever. And they're like, in the guideline, the bylaws of the competition says they have to wear a dance belt. If you don't wear a dance belt, then you're disqualified. So we're in. And I'm like, what
a
the
dance
fuck?
Belt?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's like a erection a reducer. So that's what, and I was just like, that is such a weird way to get into it, but fine. And I just like kind of rolled my eyes to the rest of it. But the dancing was good. I'll say that.
Oh,
they had like, and it was like different. They had like differently abled people break in. They had like an older, like, I guess B granny now, not B girl. Right. But like, there's a scene where she's like, this old one's like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, oh no, this like, and she's like a, like appears like a white woman, older white woman. And she's like, turn that shit up. And she starts like locking and shit. And you're like, whoa. So there, it has like those moments like where dance movies, they'll always have like, oh, this is when like the main characters, like their romantic dance that's choreographed that like maybe feels like Gen Z's, I don't know, dirty dancing or whatever the fuck it's supposed to be. But you know, it's got its ups and downs.
This is very much up my alley. I was on dance team through all of school, won many a trophy. That's right, no big deal. I took it very seriously.
Yeah.
And honestly, I love it. I love a cheesy formulaic dance movie. I love the montage of assembling the motley crew of like ragtag dancers.
Yeah. And inevitably, the girl with like the white girl gets her rhythm scene.
love it. Like, go back and watch Save the Last Dance. The audition that Julia Stiles does to get into I think Juilliard, it's the most it's like the most basic white girl dance of all time.
Sucks at dancing in that movie.
But listen, why when I was first watching that movie as a young person, I was like, oh my God, she's so good.
She's doing it.
Didn't you see someone went viral just tweeting the video of that scene and being like, y'all, have y'all really looked how she was dancing in this scene? And you're like, this is bullshit. And also, it's to a certain extent, violence against me.
Right.
Because it was so swaggerless. They're like, oh, don't get the chair on them. And it's just like,
The chair part where she's
like. And she's like just looking on either side. I'm like, this is not dancing, but fine.
And homegirl is supposed to be auditioning for Juilliard, like one of the top performing art schools in the fucking world.
Isn't like, the idea that like she's supposed to be like one type of like classical dance, but then like she like makes it like more
exactly yeah. So she if I remember correctly, she's like an uptight white girl. She moves, she changes schools, and she goes, I might be misremembering this because it's been a while, she goes to like a predominantly black, she moves to go to a predominantly black school. She becomes friends with a very early Kerry Washington. Yes, she was in that movie.
Wow.
And then she meets a black student, like a black guy, falls in love with him, and he teaches her to like open up and teaches her how to express that through her dance. It's so bad, but listen, let this movie come on when I have a hangover on TBS. I will watch it from beginning to end.
Oh yeah.
Where's that guy who played Sean Patrick Thomas was the main character, or he was opposite her. What's he been doing? Oh, not much.
Oh, he was really good in Finding Forrester. It's the same guy, right? Or no, that might not be the same guy. What else was he in?
No, that's something. He doesn't have that many credits. He's from DC, though.
Oh, shout out to DC.
Yeah.
He's in a Justice League thing?
Is he?
That's what it says.
I'm just looking at Sean Patrick Thomas. What else you got here? Oh yeah, okay.
He's like
Cool Intentions. Oh, he's that's right.
He's the cello. Yes. That's who it is. He's the cello instructor in Cruel Intentions.
That's right.
Where he's got a little thing with Selma Blair.
Oh no, he's been working. Oh, he's been getting in. Yeah. He's just doing a lot of TV. He's doing
Madam Secretary. Vixen.
Yeah. Gotta get that NCIS in. You know what I mean? Are you really working out here if you haven't been on NCIS?
You have not. You are not.
Yep. And that's why I'm not really working, because I have not been on.
Bridget, you did not get the memo about these rewatches, but you did watch American Pickle. Anything else you want to recommend that you've been watching?
Oh, I would definitely recommend American Pickle. I would, if you want a kind of like easy watching, kind of heartwarming PG-13, like I went into it thinking it was going to be raunchier than it. You know, I see Seth Rogen and I'm like, oh, get ready for some pot jokes and dick jokes. But it was more like pickle brine jokes. But by the end of it, I was into it.
Yeah.
A movie that I rewatched recently was Demolition Man. Totally
holds
up.
Hell yeah. I mean, if you had told us that at the beginning of this episode, that's what this episode would have been about.
Yes. So probably. We watched Demolition Man on Netflix, and now all of our Netflix like suggestions are that very specific kind of 90s action movie. So we watched Total Recall last night, which
there you go.
Holds up, I think. You know, it's a pretty good movie. Demolition Man is the one I'm going to recommend. It really presents this very kind of like feminized, like I guess when I watch a lot of movies that are sort of like about the future, it's always sort of very grim and very dark. And what's actually kind of refreshing about Demolition Man is that their predictions of the future, it's like, oh, we've reached this sort of almost utopian, like feminized society where, you know, everyone is so happy, they don't even really swear and things like that. Like that vision of society, I was like, oh, wow, it's interesting that that's what they were presenting.
Yeah, but it sucks because Dennis Leary can't do a stand-up routine in that world.
And so. He's been rat burgers in the subterranean world.
Yes, he's been driven underground.
Yeah, and they gotta do like large-scale heists of Taco Bell restaurants just to keep the fam fed.
Won't you please think of the Dennis's Leary?
the white raunchy comedians whose careers were crushed when Dr. Cocteau took over San Angeles.
That's right. You really remember that movie very well.
My dad took me to the theater to see that shit, and I was like, on a school night, I was like, yo, you're tripping, bro. But like, fuck yeah, because I'm going to go to school and be like, yo, I saw that shit. Fuck you. I love it. And also, I love the director, because we started talking about, like, Demolition Man kind of came back around, like, heavy. Was that in the beginning of Quar? We were like really heavy about Demolition Man. But yeah, that director, Marco Brambilla.
He's like a great artist too.
He's an artist, man.
Directed that and nothing else. He was like, I've said what I need to say.
Yes.
No, he just, when he tried to make his next film, and they're like, dude, no, that's too like out there and artsy. He's like, but I made Demolition Man. He's like, I'm an artist. And they're like, yeah, but this is the movie industry where like a bunch of people with no creativity are going to give notes and crush your dream. Then he's like, then I choose The Door. And his video installations, if you ever have a chance to see any of Marco Brambilla's video installations, they are like true masterpieces of like popular film culture, where he's like stitching all of these different frames of films together in these like massive moving murals that are typically presented in 3D. And it's a
awesome
trip. Yeah.
That sounds dope.
That sounds awesome. The one thing I will say about Demolition Man is that I don't think I've ever seen a movie with a hornier Sandra Bullock. The whole movie, she's just very horny. Like she just
like a rabbit. Like it's so like wide-eyed, like I'm horny.
Like she's very horny in that movie.
But she's allowed to be horny because their version of sex is like mine.
You might get a fucking blood clot in your brain fucking with one of those things. I'm like, yo, dude, let's do it. You know, what do you do? Chumbawamba, the old funk chunky monkey, whatever the hell he says. Like,
oh
when,
my God.
The mambo, the.
Yeah, the dirty mambo. Hey, what's this? You got to put on this friggin' helmet in? We bone like
that? He is the star of that movie is very strange to me.
Yeah.
Like, he's working with a great artist, Sandra Bullock. Peak Sandra.
She went to my college. She went to East Carolina University. She did not graduate, but she went to go Pirates.
Damn. Oh, Pirates! I like. Damn, what's with all the? I like the Southeast and like the names of the mascots of the schools. Okay, I like a Pirate. Again, University of Richmond Spiders.
Oh, just that's right.
Yeah,
I love spiders, so I got to get me a jersey soon.
Well, Bridget, it has been, as always, wonderful having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you and follow you?
You can check out my podcast on this very network. It's called There Are No Girls on the Internet. You can find me on Instagram at Bridget Marie and on Twitter at Bridget Marie in DC.
Yeah, yeah. And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
There is. It's by Sam Sanders, a fellow podcaster. He says, a thing I've never been able to shake has been someone telling me that Train's Hey Soul Sister is actually about the first time you ever dated a black woman. And now you must carry this burden as well. You're welcome.
Is that true?
Wow.
I have no idea if it's true, but if you think about it, it really makes sense.
Oh my God. I need to know if that's true now.
I gotta go. That's too much to think about.
That is
now.
Too much. Like the our democracy just devolving into fascism is one thing, but Soul Sister being too much for me. Miles, where can people find you and what's tweet you've been enjoying?
Was he bigging himself up, you know,
soul
privately?
Soul Sister. Yeah.
He's like, you know what I mean? Hey, what's up, soul brother? Did I ever tell you about this thing? I'm like, yo, I'll knock you the fuck out right here, Train. You know, I've been with your kind. Like, okay, you know what? That's a song like that purely is rooted in that kind of vision of what a human being is. Like, you could just say you smashed a pretty person. Right. You know? Didn't have to bring all that other extra shit in. But, you know,
it's like that character on Atlanta, the guy who has the Juneteenth party.
Oh, yes.
black woman and thinks he's like.
So too real though. Too real.
Too real.
He's like,
yeah.
Oh gosh. Yeah, anyway, he's telling Donald Glover's character, like, oh, like your people have been through so much. Like you have a rich history.
Thank you.
Okay. Miles, where can people find you and what's tweet you've been enjoying?
I got my potato salad from Tony Braxton's Twitter account. I hope you like it. It feels like the kind of thing someone would say too to make you feel comfortable. Okay, so this is Twitter, Instagram at Miles of Gray. Also on my other podcast, 420 Day Fiance, talking about 90 Day Fiance. And let's see, a tweet I like is actually from one of last week's guests, Mr. Thorpe, Posadas Trap God. He says, Black Lives Matter signs in gentrified neighborhoods just be hitting different.
It's true.
Yeah, it's just very, very true.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. A couple tweets I've been enjoying from Alvin the Don. Tweeted, why is it so awkward walking back after you bowl in bowling? And then he also tweeted, you ever bring your pet up to a mirror and you're like, that's you.
Oh, shit. That really sounds like some
Jack
shit I've done.
_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we going to ride out on today?
Man, this is a track from... Look, I like when artists, like current artists, just are so in love with like a aesthetic from the past. And they just like live that. And you can tell from like when the music they make, like it's just the one... It's like the language they speak. This is from an artist from Nashville, Tennessee. He goes by the name Louis Prince. But it's like this... It's like electro-y, like 60s jazz, but kind of like new wave pop mixed. It just feels like, it just feels like something you'd see in a really dope movie. Like if you were watching like a great film and like sometimes there's like those scenes where, like that song just like makes the scene and like someone cool is walking through a club or something. That's what I picture with this. So put these in your headphones and be the protagonist of your own film and walk through your neighborhood masked up, obviously. And this track is called The Number 13 by Louis Prince or Louis Prince. I don't know. Forgive me if I mispronounced.
All right. Well, we are going to ride out on that. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for this morning. We'll be back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
And what's left to find in this happy hello world we've grown? How do I confide? Am I missing anything? I hear the dead man coming. I hear the dead man come. Find me, drag me, pull me up again. Holding in a high. All one's hope is for to let it die. Holding in a high.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.